Enforcement Board meeting, November 14th, 2013. Let me start with the invocation, Don.
Dear Heavenly Father, bless us with our decisions that we make tonight, that they'll be the right ones and everybody comes out. Father, bless all our troops that are fighting for our country to keep us safe and keep our freedom. And Father, bless everyone that is sick and ill and down. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Danielle Ruslayer.
Thanks, I'm here.
Ms. Latricia Wilson is excused. Ms. Mary Ellen Cully.
Here.
Mr. Jason Kreuter.
Here.
Mr. Don Sparkman.
Here.
And the Chair, Mr. Bill Bockowitz.
Here.
We have a quorum.
The board have a opportunity to review the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes.
Do we have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Motion by Kyle, we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Don, all in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous. And if we could swear in the officers, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Chip, could you note for the record who's present tonight?
Sure, for the record, Dwayne Thomas, Charles Ridge, Matt Lightfried, and a new officer, Jason Kilcrease.
Okay, and a matter of housekeeping, if you have a cell phone in your possession, if you could turn it off or silence it for the duration of the meeting, thank you. Okay, Chip, if we've got people present, if you could hear those first.
We do have some representation this evening. The first one is for a case under old business on page 4 of your agenda. I would point out a couple things for the board, the union board members. My name is Charles Ridge from the City of Ocala. I'm duly appointed chief code official for the City of Ocala. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been in charge of the division for more than 5 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience, and I'll be presenting cases this evening. Give me just a moment here. Authenticate this machine. Because this is under old business, I would certify to the board that there is an affidavit of non-compliance in the file on this case, and the respondent or respondent's representative is here. I'm not sure what the connection is. We'll seek that. Is here to speak in this case.
Do you have the case number?
The case number is CON 13-1357. I was going to try to bring it up on the system, and you guys can use your button up there next to your monitor to also view it if you have a question.
This is the City of Ocala versus Fauchler Ingo, Wells Fargo Bank.
Ingo Fauchler, yes, Wells Fargo Bank. The location of 2709 Southeast 45th Avenue. The original case, just to give you a little background, was the parcel ID is 29737-002-10. The original case was brought for overgrown property, and if you wanted to switch over on your button there, I think you see my screen now, Bill?
Yep.
Okay, and I can go through pictures, whatnot, if you decide to determine that. This time I call representative up to let her let you know what they want to tell.
There you go. That's his screen.
Hello everyone, good evening. My name is Amy Reckla and I'm here on behalf of Wells Fargo. We received your final administrative order, and in reviewing this case, it appears that we actually deeded this property over to the Secretary of Veteran Affairs on June 14th of 2013, which is a couple of months before these violations occurred, so my client is not the correct party here. And I brought a couple of copies of the deed if anyone would like to view them.
I think what we would rather than do is a petition to the board. Okay. And fill that paperwork out. They didn't contact us prior to the hearing, so I didn't know there would be appearing here.
Okay.
I can review this to see when notice went out.
Notice of hearing looks like it was September 6th.
Yeah, the case was open in July, according to
the first notice, correct. And of course, transferring a property that's under notice is illegal under the code and under state law without notifying us. And the first notice went out on 8/23. So if they transferred the property in June, my assessment would be, going over the facts briefly here, that they would not be responsible for that.
Okay.
So what I would like for them to do is to fill out a petition, which we would then present to the board to have proper signatures and whatnot to dismiss the case against them, based upon the information they've provided here.
Yeah, that's fine, just to get with their counsel so they know what paperwork they need.
Yep. Having said that, we have another case of representation here this evening, which is on page 3 of the docket, CON 13-1383, case involving Officer Dan Baker and Officer Dwayne Thomas, who is present this evening. Case involving Downey Industrial Land LLC, a location in the city of 2300 block of Northeast 14th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 26631-002-00. Legal service was obtained on 8/22/2013 for the notice of violation and 9/23/2013 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 8/20/2013 for the notice of violation and 9/24 for the notice of hearing. We have included as part of the additional correspondence in this case a copy of the SunBiz report and the summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Officer, it says Dwayne Thomas was actually Dwayne Kenny, took over the case upon Officer Baker's departure and additional investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the case and the violation remains. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remove the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included copies of the photographs of the condition of the property as of the 12th. I'm prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and staff has a recommendation if you'd like for me to read that into the record at this time.
Yeah, since we have a present, go ahead and read it in the record.
The staff recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $50 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out that this property is adjacent to an additional property where the picture is being taken from in page 3 at the top, and that the complainant in this case is the respondent that lives adjacent to this property that's overgrown. This time I call representation from the respondent.
Randall Elbert, 1811 East Fort King Street, Ocala, Florida.
Need you to be sworn in, please.
He's an attorney.
I'm not an attorney. No. God, I look that bad?
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And then if you could state your name and address for the record.
All right, thank you. Randall Alford, 1811 East Fort King Street, Ocala, Florida. I'm the broker owner of R&B Realty here in Ocala. Your name again?
Charles Rich.
Mr. Rich, we've been in constant contact with this. Conrad Tree Service went out there about 30 days ago. October 12th, I called the office. I spoke to Terry. I was noticed yesterday by the property owner out of Pompano. They asked, do we need to appear? I said, well, no, I called on October 12th, and they said Officer Kennedy was going to go out there the following day and inform us if there was any more cleanup to be done. Yesterday afternoon, like I said, she's like, no, you still have to appear. And I said, well, nobody contacted us. I mean, we've just spent $2,800. We took down a tree limb on the other end of the street to help an adjoining neighbor. And I didn't even know who the complainant was. But the problem is with that one picture, it looks, with those kudzu vines and potato vines, like I said, we just spent $1,800 on just the clearing. I'm not even counting the tree limb there. Now, we didn't clear the 14th Street side, but this property, Mr. Downey purchased it probably 6-7 years ago. Called correctly when I sold it to him. I mean, it's always looked like that. I understand Mrs. Hogan lost her husband and no longer has the capability of keeping her back property line clean. That kudzu vine, we'd be more than happy to do the neighborly thing and clean that up, which we've attempted to do, but all of a sudden here in the last 30 days, I haven't had any communication with the code enforcement office other than I thought it was taken care of. So if I sound a little perturbed, I am. Because like I said, I didn't even know who the complaint was until yesterday afternoon. Or like I said, we were going and knocked on the door just like I did first thing this morning and said, listen, we'd be more than happy to help you out any way we can. But this hearing the fines and everything is pretty frustrating. We've been trying to take care of this the whole time. And Officer Baker, he's now retired. So Officer Kennedy even said yesterday it's kind of slipped through the cracks. So a little perturbed about this. Like I said, if it's your recommendation of this board to clean up the 14th Street side that's looked like that for the last 25 years that I've been driving by it, we'll be more than happy to do that too. But
yeah, the length about how long it's looked like that doesn't really come into play.
I could interject. I think part of the problem is not the 14th Street side.
Yeah, no, it's Mrs. Cope.
The side behind her house and what's going to need to be done there is that it's going to have to be done. The brush is going to have to be cut out to within 300 feet of the structure. So,
okay, well, again, here's the case. Officer Kennedy said the exact same thing to me. The property's only 180 feet wide. I mean, it's thick with great big trees. There's no bush hogging available. I mean, it's all handwork that Conrad did. So unless you want me to cross the street on 23rd Avenue and go to the neighbors, it's not going to happen. I mean, we'll be more than happy to clean out all this. I mean, like I said, we've already spent $1,800 clearing it out, but I didn't know who the complainant was yesterday until that. Oh, in another case, I was just telling Mrs. Hogan, when we came around the corner from the opposite end, I believe that's 12th Street down the end.
Where's
the... What's that?
In these pictures, I don't see anything cleaned up.
Well, I don't know when those pictures were taken, but I just walked the property line today. They cut a bunch of those vines at the bottom all the way down that property line. But the problem is, there's a buffer. There's probably a good 10 to 15 feet from our property line to the back of these fences down through there, with very few exceptions to that.
But I think the code says it has to be cleared within 300 feet of a dwelling. So 15 feet is not going to cut it.
But my point is, I thought that the depth of the lot is only 180 feet deep. So you go in there and take out all the trees and all the vines completely, keep any underbrush that's growing there?
Well, according to code, that's what needs to be done.
Well, If Mrs. Hogan would agree for, the gentleman here just said something about a $50 a day fine until it's corrected. Like I said, I didn't know until 4:30 yesterday afternoon. We're more than neighborly. Like I said, we just spent $1,500 taking down the tree limb over a neighbor's mobile home on the end of the street just because he asked, because it was a danger, mm-hmm. and it was a living tree.
Yeah, so. I can't speak for the board until we make the motion and everything, but it looks like it's going to have to be cleared up. And until that happens, whether the city does it or y'all do it, that fine's going to run. And what happens is, once it comes into compliance, you call the board, or you call the code enforcement, and for a reinspection.
I think that he's thinking that it starts today, the fine. It starts, it says 14 days.
Yeah, 14 days.
14 days, correct.
But let me finish. So let me finish. So once it comes into compliance and you get code enforcement to sign off on it, and then you just put in a request to have the penalties waived. We usually, we'll work with you on that, you know, as long as they get the property cleaned up or brought into compliance.
I think the city would be willing to work with them if they can give us an idea of how much time they need.
Okay.
You know, as well.
Well, how much time do you think you need then?
Well, I mean, 30 days would be nice, because like I said, I just feel as though I've lost 30 days, because I contacted, you know, Terry in the code enforcement office on the 12th, and Officer Canby, if she's here, will attest to that, that there's notes in there in your system that says I contacted him a month ago.
So if they gave you 30 days, you think you can get it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I do have a concern, though, with this 300-foot rule when the property, I mean, who do I get, one of the officers here or Officer Kennedy, concerning how clean it's going to have to be?
It has to be, all the underbrush has to be taken away. The big trees can stay, you know?
Yeah, anything over 4 inches would have to stay, and then just the underbrush would have to be cut out.
Right.
Right.
To a height of 12 inches. So mm-hmm. You have to have a complaint, and they have a complainant. I don't know how else that we could apply the code other than to apply the code.
Right. So yeah, you would be agreeable if we gave you 30 days.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got to ask this one more thing.
Yeah,
again, down on the, I believe, the 12th Street Inn, where this stuff has been growing for years and years, they've got a nice, beautiful little shaped canopy coming over their driveway mm-hmm. of kudzu vines and potato vines and everything else. They don't want that cut. They flat out said, that is our property, we do not want that cut. So I'm just putting that in notice. I'm not cutting somebody else's property. I mean,
I don't think we're asking you to.
Well, if your property only goes, if your property only goes 180 feet deep, then you just have to do it. So
can I ask a question? I mean, again, I'm willing to do anything I can to help Mrs. Hogan, but you're asking me to go on her property and clean off those vines.
No, we're asking you
no,
to clean
sir.
Up your property.
Okay, that's good enough with me.
No, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, any other questions for the respondent? Any questions for the city?
No, I'd like to clear up something with the gentleman that just was here. Sir,
yeah,
could you come back up?
Yes, sir.
You keep saying the property's 180 feet deep, right?
Yes, sir, from the street to the back of Mrs. Hogan's property and all those adjoining land.
Okay, and the code says 300 feet away from the dwelling.
Yes, sir.
Okay. If it's only 180 feet, you don't have to underbrush just the 180 feet that you got. You can't go on somebody else's property, of course.
I understand that.
So, just underbrush it and be done with it, you know?
Yes, sir.
And that's...
Yeah, well, I think Mrs. Hogan, I just told her when I sat down there, I mean, we're going to help her out any way we can. Because
right.
That's encroaching on her property. So while I
absolutely.
Have people over there, we're going to help her out, of course. But it's just...
And you think you can do this within 30 days?
Yes. Yes, sir. Sorry, I heard Mrs. Hogan
okay.
back there.
That's...
Sure, absolutely. I mean, like I said, Conrad has already been over there. They
yes.
spent about a day and a half going through there, whacking the potato vines at the base,
mm-hmm.
All down the property line. They didn't go through the property. They just kind of hit
mm-hmm.
the property line
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the neighbors we were able to talk to said, please do it. And like I said, unfortunately, in Mrs. Hogan's case, it's really kind of infringed on her over there over the years. So,
you know, the potato vines are a real problem because when she's cut them back, you know, they keep coming back.
Oh, nasty, yeah.
So you might want to think about some kind of pesticide or something to keep them back.
I talked to Conrad about it this morning. They have to take some special license
yeah.
to use that stuff that
yes,
kills
sir.
Everything, birds,
yes.
trees.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Chip, you're agreeable to a friendly amendment to
yes,
30 days?
Yes, the respondent would like, or the complainant would also like to address the board.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Yes.
If you want to come up, please, and be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Christy Hogan, 2330 Northeast 14th Street, Ocala, Florida.
If you put that on there other than the pictures we have to keep them for the record.
You can. That's all there's on there.
Not supposed to put anything in the city computer that hasn't been tested by IT, so you don't have these already printed out or
no.
anything?
Mm-hmm. the 23rd Avenue, and then my, from my house.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is this concerning your property?
Okay, is this the property that we're discussing for this case?
Yes.
This is 2300 block Northeast 14th Street?
I don't know. Nope, it's the next one. Sorry.
No.
This is from the 23rd Avenue side of it.
Okay, you're referring to the first photo that we brought up on the screen? Correct, I'm sorry, the second photo that we brought up on the screen?
Yes.
Okay, what are we looking at?
The ones that are from my property are in the one that's titled property.
So I need to go again, or get a different file?
Yeah, I think you're in that one. It needs to be. This one. This is my fence line. This is my point.
I don't know what you're referring to, so you're gonna have to explain the first picture.
The first picture.
Looking out from?
From my backyard, from my carport, back into the prop, there's a chain link fence there under all those vines.
So you're looking north onto 14th Street?
No.
Now, but north.
23rd is back here.
Okay, so you're looking.
This is my.
You're looking out your back door at your fence?
Right.
Okay.
And on the other side of the fence is the property that we're talking about?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All those vines are covering a chain link fence, which every year I clear out or do the best I can. We've let it grow so that we could have these pictures showing what grows and what I've had to clear out all the time.
Next.
Mm-hmm. This is my backyard, same thing, looking on the fence. Over into their property.
Mm-hmm. Next one.
Next. Mm-hmm.
So this is picture three.
Right. Same thing. My backyard. Next.
Next.
Mm-hmm.
Picture four.
Same thing.
Out of your backyard.
Right, out of my backyard. This is more in the corner.
When are these taken?
Today.
These are chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
This is the back part of my property where there isn't a fence, and how the overgrowth from his property has grown over into mine. And you can see where some of it's cut, where I'm able to cut, and the rest of it is where the branches from trees from their property have been choked by the overgrowth and fall, so I'm not able to mow there because it's too...
Yeah,
there's too much stuff.
I think we're in agreement that property is overgrown and it needs to be cleared.
Right, so. And nobody's done any clearing there. The only clearing that's been done there against my fence line is what I've gone back and cut back some the weeds. They grow and they grow really big, and one big one has grown over the fence, and I've had to cut it back.
But okay,
that's been the only thing that's been cut.
Okay, I think what we're probably going to end up doing is going to resolve that mm-hmm. issue.
And Mr. Oliver did contact me this afternoon. He left a card on my front porch.
Mm-hmm.
I may have been in the back of my house and wasn't able to, and didn't hear him come, but that's the only contact I've had from him.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that we've come to some kind of resolution to this, which is the city's recommendation, but giving them 30 days instead of the 14 days. So.
Yeah.
This is a pretty big job to undertake in 14 days.
And I'm just happy to have just what's adjacent to my property done. That's all I asked for
yes.
to begin
with. Well, it's
got
to be brought into code compliance,
yes.
So it's going to be more than that. They're going to have to clear that lot. Okay.
And as well as him using pesticides to keep the fence line from getting like this again, you know, when those potato vines grow and they grow on your side, you're going to have to do the same, or it's going to encroach on his property. So,
oh, well,
you know,
right. And I do keep my property clean.
Yes,
I
ma'am.
Know it.
But as they grow through and they grow into
right.
your land, you know,
right.
you're going to be responsible for that. But it this is a pretty big undertaking to do, because this is mm-hmm. a pretty dense lot, you
right.
know. So, and the gentleman seems to want to do what's right, you know, and I think this board's gonna give the proper time to have it done. So I don't think there's gonna be a problem.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendations with a 30-day window.
And I'll second that.
This respondent wants to address the board again.
Yes.
Just with that picture three, that was a great picture, and that kind of emphasized what I was talking about. Her fence line, you saw it was almost pretty much cleared in between her fence line and the property. So that's what I'm saying, I'm gonna kind of really need to, I know you're not telling me to go on other people's property, but we're working it out with Ms. Hogan to help. You can kind of see that buffer. There's a pretty good little buffer in there between Mr. Downey's property line and Mrs. Hogan's fence, but we're gonna help Mrs. Hogan out any way we can.
Well, I think.
But now we're gonna be forced to clear the whole thing, sorry to interrupt.
I think with Ms. Hogan and yourself and the code enforcement officers, this all can be done.
Sure.
And come to a solution.
No problem. All right, thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
I'll second.
Motion by Danielle, second by Don. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That'll bring us to page two of the agenda this evening, CUM 13-1460. This is the case of City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Dorian Dana and Nation Star Mortgage LLC. A location at 4503 Northeast 13th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3432, water collections. The parcel ID is 2720-001-051. Legal service and postage have been obtained as indicated on page two of your presentation. We've included a copy of the Les Pendant, SunBiz, and current property registration for the property. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code as previously stated. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Further investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of the presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property. Staff has recommendations bottom of page two, and I'm prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Is the pool secured? I mean,
yes, sir.
Okay.
There is a barrier, and of course, this would be part of the maintenance requirements of the home foreclosure.
Right.
But beyond that, it's also a violation of pure code 3430.
Is there a respondent present?
No, sir. No respondent present for the record.
Any questions of the
when
city?
When you said there was a barrier, is there a cover over the pool?
No. The barrier in code and in state law is the fence line that is around the pool. It's got to be 4 feet high. It has to be of a structure that's not doesn't just fall over. And they have that in place.
It looks like to me it was drained and it's just from the rainwater getting in it and then the gate opened.
I don't know that it was drained, and I don't
sure evaporated a lot.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible, yeah.
It's possible.
Okay. Any other questions for the city?
No.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
We have a motion from Danielle. Second?
I'll second.
Second from Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page two of your agenda this evening, COM 13-1505. City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Lucinda Frangipane. Anybody help me with
good
that?
Try.
Head of the estate of Stuart Helfer and the Bank of New York Mellon. A location at 525 Northeast 18th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weed accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2830-007-008. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page two of your presentation. And because we are going to proceed in this case as a repeat violator, we have added additional correspondence of the previous findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where the city brought the property into compliance and a copy of the Les Pendants. The first case was brought before. Brought before the Code Enforcement Board, and an order was signed on the 15th day of January 2013. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed that respondents have not taken corrective action in the case and the violations remain. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remove the violation have not been successful. There is current pictures of the situation currently on the property, and staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2. What we're referring to is the piles of debris in the back here. The logs that are indicated in the picture on page 3. And, prepared to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Is there a respondent present?
There is no respondent for the record.
Any questions for the city?
No.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second.
A motion from Jason and a second from Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to page 3 of your agenda this evening, CON 13-1381. That's in the middle of the page. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Terramar Waste Land, LLC. A location at 423 Northwest 12th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82-182, dangerous structure declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 2840-006-003. Legal service for the notice of violation was returned, and we did obtain service on 8-22-2013 for the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 7-31-2013 for the notice of violation and 8-22-2013 for the notice of hearing. We have included as part of the additional correspondence in this case a structural evaluation, which was completed by Officer David Thompson, the City of Ocala Building Department, which made a score of 50 points and dilapidated. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report and utility information. We also would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code. As previously stated, the structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. Officer Thomas took over this case, and additionally, Officer Thomas requested a structural evaluation. Inspector David Thompson responded, completing the inspection, which resulted in a score of 50 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida Building Code regulations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of the photographs of the current condition of property. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions you may have. I would point out for the record there is no respondent present to speak to this case this evening. And staff has a recommendation on page 2 of your presentation.
Do we usually ask for demolition if it gets 40 or less, isn't it?
I'm sorry, sir?
On the structural evaluation? Isn't the total points 40 or less?
No, sir. A house can be dilapidated if it would require, 50, under state law, if it would require 56% of the total value of the structure or more to repair the structure to bring it up to current Florida building code. That's where the building official is coming from. And basically, it doesn't really go by a score value. It goes more by what his percentage of repair would be required. That's why he's giving him, he has not declared the house uninhabitable.
Mm-hmm.
He's simply stating this house is going to require major structural repairs in order to bring it into current compliance.
Yeah.
We have afforded them time to make those repairs, and if they didn't, then the next step would be to take the house down.
Okay. I thought that we had based it on the structural evaluation on the points, whether we put demolition there as one of the requirements or not.
No, sir.
In the past, I'm pretty sure.
In fact, a property can be declared a nuisance and abatement required based upon just slum and blight that's causing the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't even require require a structural evaluation.
Yeah, but you did do a structural.
We did do a structural, which I believe is on page 6.
It's 50,
it's at 50 points.
But if it was at 30, it would be.
If it was at 30, then it would be more repairs required than at 50, I would say.
Yeah, but
where is the line at?
I don't think there is a line.
We've had one in the past. I know we have.
No, we've generally said if it was at 50 points or below, that's what the board had said. But the city does not say if it's 51, then it should not be taken down. And if it's 50, it should.
I'd have to disagree with that.
Well,
okay, well, I'm just going by my experience.
Yeah. I mean,
there's got to be some point there to where, you know.
Over the years, I know that when we've seen structural evaluations, as you said, if they score certain, they have to achieve a certain score. And now you're saying that that's.
I've never
said
that.
Because otherwise, why would we even
do that? I've never said that because I've never had in my mind that it had to be 50 or above.
Why would we do a structural evaluation?
Because it states right in there what the evaluation is for what would need to be repaired and what the condition of the items are that are currently out there. I think that this property could be rehabilitated if someone would take ownership and responsibility for doing it. If they don't, our options are limited. It's not going to get any better.
Yeah, I know that when we did structural evaluations in the past that there was a certain score that I had to achieve before we recommended demolition.
That's not in the code, but if that was what was disposed
of. I know what's been done in the past.
I think that reading that the roof system scores 5 points and has deflection, that the floor system shows 10 points. I think that where this gets its points are the concrete block walls. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I'd probably have to do some homework on that.
I think it's also concerning that in the floor system, it says the joist has some deteriorated framework and has no footing for support. The officer's here to also answer any questions you may have.
I kind of inherited the case, but I'm actually kind of familiar with the property because I've had previous cases there before.
Mm-hmm.
There's significant tree damage on the south end of the house. Unfortunately, the way the property is located, you can't get to it to see, to fully view. You can see a portion of it at the base of this tree trunk.
On page 6 at the bottom.
The tree that actually damaged the house is laying on the ground next to it.
But you're working from the right of way,
from
so
the right of way.
You can't.
That's correct. There's also.
Is there anybody living in there?
No.
Is there any power on this house?
There's no power.
We've it's been cut.
Copy of the power before.
The power hasn't been on for since 04, I believe.
And this is on the bottom of page 5, that's the roof falling out.
That's correct.
Dwayne, have you had any contact with the owners of the property?
Not recently, no.
At all, anytime?
In the past, on previous cases, yes, but not in this case.
Was it the same owners?
Well, there's some debate as to who the owner is. We never actually talked to anyone from Terramar Wasteland. There is someone that appears at the property that states to be the owner, but has no standing.
So the picture at the top of page 3
mm-hmm.
was just open for anybody just to walk through there.
That's
and it's
correct.
All rotted all through the bottom floor joists as indicated in the building official's report.
That's correct. In the bottom of the addition to the block structure is all wood. The surrounding outside at the base, you can see in this picture on page 2.
At the bottom of page 2, it's all chopped out of there. That goes straight into the house.
Yeah, that's sheet on the other side.
I mean, it looks like a condemned piece of property.
You know, they just gave up on it.
And in this picture, at the top of page 2, it's all out.
Right.
Okay. Even the sheet rock on the inside is
that's
gone.
Correct, right. Animal control has actually, I personally have had three animals removed from this property in previous cases. They were just left there by this supposed owner.
Our new code officer, Jason Kilcrease, is a building contractor. If that would help you with any other information that you might require, we can offer that testimony as well. But
well, my thing is that I know we've used a minimum score that homes need to achieve on the structural evaluation. And
I don't see in the section 82, 81, they're having a number associated with the rule. So barring a hardline rule with a number in it.
Yeah, I know we've used one before, but I don't know what we decided on. That's why I'm saying I'll have to do some homework on it.
Okay.
But either way.
The classification of structure on the bottom, I would think, is almost even more important than the score. I mean, if it's dilapidated, it doesn't meet code. And the pictures clearly show it's dilapidated.
There's no way anybody going to pull a engineering and rebuild this piece of property.
The house isn't worth it.
That's what generally happens when they go to the building and they say, well, we're going to need engineered plans, and you're going to have...
The cost factor is too high.
Yes, sir.
For this.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
But
we have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the next case at the bottom of page 3, CUM 13-1275. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Anna, the estate of Anna Kensington, care of Olivia Baird, personal representative. The location is 2510 Southwest 34th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. And we've cited them for violation of section 3495 and 314-141 through 145. The parcel ID is 2376-005-003. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've also included a copy of the assignment of mortgage, a SunBiz report, and a current property registration for the property. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Thomas added the bank to the case. Further investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Dwayne, if you could help me out here, I don't see a bank listed on the document.
It's a mortgage company.
So this is the mortgage company? Or they are? Or is that clear? Let me just look through here at the registration.
Yeah, right there.
There is a property registration on, I think I just passed it again, page 38. So Five Brothers is the property manager, and the mortgagee is Bank of America, Seattle Mortgage.
So it is registered?
Yes, ma'am, it's registered. However, they're not complying with the requirements of the code, of the registration.
Okay, but one of the violations you cited was registration. So are you withdrawing that?
Actually, it's 143 maintenance requirements, if you'd accept a friendly amendment to the charge there.
So the, okay, so 34-142?
34-143.
Okay, but 142 is registration. You said it was registered.
Right. Right, he's doing a friendly amendment to make it 143.
Okay, 143 is listed already.
Right, so 3495 and 34143 for the maintenance requirements required under the registration. I'll look at the notice here and see how that went. They must have just registered it for you and then now taken care of it.
Okay, so we can withdraw 34-142.
Yes, sir. We're going to withdraw 34-141, 34-142, 34-144, and 145 because they did comply with that.
Okay.
On, well, that's an old registration. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. I'm going to withdraw my previous friendly amendment. I apologize for that.
That's an expired registration.
They do not have a current property registration.
Okay. It's a very confusing case because the owners that are listed here, this Kinniston, they have passed. The house went into foreclosure. Then there was a, there was a mortgage, another mortgage on the house where they actually live off of the money.
Oh, reverse mortgage.
Reverse mortgage. I couldn't think of the word. And then the bank acquired it through that reverse mortgage. South Bank got involved.
Okay, and we noticed that.
And we noticed that.
I see right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Basically, there's just tree debris on the front and rear of the property. There was a problem with getting it cut. They did start cutting lawn. We just could not ever get them to communicate with us to get the tree debris picked up.
And the tree debris we're talking, referring to, is most relevant in bottom of page two picture.
That's correct. And then at the rear of the property on page 1 of 5.
Page 1 of 6.
Right. 6. Yeah.
Okay, so that big log that busted down the fence.
Okay. All right, do we have any other questions for the city?
I apologize for the confusion. That had me confused.
They just give you the difficult ones?
Right now, Dwayne is it for everything on the west side of the city.
Okay.
So, if he seems a little turned around sometimes, you got to give him a little bit of a break.
No.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second. Second by Don. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That will bring us to page 4 of your agenda, COM 13-1323, a case involving City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas and Tax Certificate Redemptions, Inc., a location at 1923 Southwest 2nd Street, and a violation of Section 3495, Weeds, Accumulation of Trash, and Other Unsightly and Sanitary Matter. The parcel ID is 2260132006. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of the presentation. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report for this company. The summary finds that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action to cure the violation, and the violation remains. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation is still on the property. We've included photographs of the current condition of the property. I'll call Officer Thomas up here to explain what's going on. The property is within 300 feet of an adjacent structure. We have complainant requesting our assistance in remedying this violation, which have you cited this previously, Dwayne?
I have not.
Okay.
The officer has.
Okay.
All right. Is the respondent present?
And we do not have a respondent present for the record.
We have any questions for the city? Any discussion? We have a motion?
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Right. Motion by Kyle. We have a second?
Second.
Second by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to the middle of page 4 of your agenda this evening. COM 13-1426, the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus AJM Capital LLC, a location of 217 Southwest 13th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter, and Section 122-253, visibility at intersections. Not one that's often brought before you all, but from time to time we have had this. The parcel ID is 2845-053-028. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report on the company.
Okay.
As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property and the summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that respondents have not taken corrective action to cure the violation. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. I have photographs that show you the current condition. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you might have. And obviously, if you're looking at page three, the bottom of page three, where the stop sign and the traffic bar are, you'll see that this clearly violates the traffic triangle at that intersection. People are pulling up there and have to get out into the intersection to see beyond the tree line.
Okay. We have a respondent present?
We do not have a respondent present for the record.
I make a motion we accept that recommendation.
I have a motion from Don. We have a second?
Second.
Second from Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
Good job, Dwayne.
That'll bring us to old business on the agenda at the bottom of page four. And I would represent that, or request that the board, respectfully request that the board make a motion to accept the cases listed, except for COM 13-1357, Indigo Fokker, which was previously ruled on by this board as in non-compliance. I can attest that there is an affidavit of non-compliance in all of these cases and respectfully request an order for the code department to proceed in previous board orders.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept?
I'd like a motion to accept.
By Danielle, who has a second?
Second.
Second by Kyle, all in favor?
Aye.
Passed unanimous.
Having said that, City Wrestler presentation this evening, I would respectfully request a motion to accept all evidence, testimony, and documentation into the record.
That motion.
I have a motion from
second.
Danielle, second by Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
As far as some discussion for the board, I would have Jason Pilkey stand up this evening. He is a new code officer that's being assigned to our office.
Welcome, Jason.
Welcome.
Mm-hmm. We've been working in code, parking, you know, all of our little hats that we wear. We also have another person coming. Her name is Lindsay. Lindsay will be here soon, and as soon as we can get to, Terry is going to move into a code officer's position as well.
Yeah, so don't mess with me, Don.
All right.
I'm going to write up all his properties.
Can she sit over there?
Also prepared to answer any other questions you may have. You'll notice that there is a letter in your file this evening for signature.
Yeah.
It's a new item that's come about where after the Palm Bay and Wells Fargo case was ruled, I believe it was Wells Fargo case, mm-hmm. It gave banks the ability to request a letter stating that all of the violations that were previously on there don't apply to the new owner and that we would seek our redress through the old owner, which is essentially what that letter states.
Well, we do that anyway, don't we?
No. What we have done in the past was to give them, if they requested, a partial release of lien. Mm-hmm. But now with this, they now want a letter.
The grants priority to the enforcement lien, notwithstanding the mortgage. The cases now have said those ordinances are no longer effective. So the title company actually has asked for acknowledgement of that, that we acknowledge that our enforcement is inferior to the mortgage and was foreclosed by the mortgage foreclosure.
Okay. Well, that was a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
That's why he gets paid.
Why he gets the big bucks.
That's why he gets paid what I do.
Well, you know, we tried to get one up on the banks and it didn't work. The banks got the courts to agree with them. What Chip and I have talked about is rather than having that letter brought to the board every time the situation arises, having Chip have the board by motion or by amendment as Chip recommended of the procedures in January, authorize him to do it. So I think Chip would rather handle it that way.
Yeah, we just sign them. And
rather than doing it once
off
a month, you know, if the property's about to close, the title company needs that letter rather than waiting for meeting. Makes more sense to have Chip be able to sign the letter for the property to get totally cleaned up.
And it's some, it, for me, it's a non sequitur. I mean, we're not going to pursue them anyways, but
right.
they want a letter.
So. Okay. All right.
So what we may do is, now that we have our policies and procedures thing and we've included the stuff that you wanted in there as far as people making presentations and whatnot, where
right.
we change that around a little bit, what we would do is probably put a paragraph in there that the board authorizes. Or maybe we could just do it like we do annually, where you guys allow us to post.
Mm-hmm.
We would just do another order along those lines, allowing us to sign title letters.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term,
yeah.
Sign title letters. And that way you guys could look at it each year like you do with posting and those things.
Okay, that's fine.
So I wanted to bring that to the board to see if you had some suggestions either way or the other.
I don't see a problem with it.
I got a question. How do we take the scoring of the building department and consider a building condemned where it needs to be tore down when we have a case like we had previous tonight?
I could try to shed a little bit of light in as far as discussion is concerned. We've had two different building inspectors that were doing this. Guy Priest
mm-hmm.
was doing them before, and he was much, I would say, more animated in his evaluation. He would go and say for you all that, you know, this is dilapidated because it scores X number of points and whatnot. That was his method of evaluation.
Right.
When David took this over for him, he kind of went a different way in that, and this happened, I guess, within the last 2 years when David took this over. And the way that he does it is different in that he considers, once a building is dilapidated, he doesn't go any further on it, because he figures, well, it's going to cost X amount from this and that and this, and he's going to, Guy would not say dilapidated. He would say it scores 50 points or whatever, and, you know, could be repaired if they wanted to repair
right.
it.
40 points, 30
David,
points.
David, on the other hand, takes the approach of, this is deteriorated and dilapidated. So when he says it's dilapidated, he's taken into the fact that, well, based upon, and he is a building contractor, David Thompson, it was a building contractor, whereas Guy was not. Based upon my discussions with him, says, you know, it's going to cost them too much to do, as you had suggested, get engineered drawings, bring them down here, but I'm going to give them that opportunity. I mean, if they want to keep this concrete block walls and tear down everything else.
So basically, just the one guy wasn't defining it as dilapidated unless it scored a certain point value.
I think that's where that came from. Yeah. As I think Guy would say, you know, this is deteriorated,
mm-hmm.
but
it's
not
dilapidated until it gets to a certain point.
Until he got down to a score of,
I
you know,
but see,
below,
it gets to.
I think he would go like below 40, where he would go, no, this is dilapidated.
Yeah.
Whereas David just kind of cuts it off on us. Now, sometimes David will go out there and put a zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty easy.
Right.
Everybody goes, well, if it scores zero, there's no way they're going to do anything about this. But in most cases, I think if we went and reviewed most of them, he generally doesn't, he'll say it's dilapidated at 50 points.
No, it wasn't 50. It was lower than that. But
there's nothing in the code.
There's nothing
that
in the code about
it. So that's why I'm saying it's subjective.
But we had a definition of dilapidated that we were using based on the person making the inspection.
Maybe you were using. I didn't get any notices of.
No, we've used them several times.
So I've tried to keep it. I've tried to keep it more by what he's saying in his report than an arbitrary score, because the words are more important to me than the numeric value. Mm-hmm. If he says, when we evaluate these things, we go out there and we're like, okay, no one's lived here for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The power hasn't been on since 2004. You know, we've got vagrants and animals living here, essentially, is what's happening.
Right.
Half the roof is torn. I mean, we in our own minds formulate, nobody's going to take care of this.
Person goes down to the building department and applies for a building permit,
yeah, Yes, sir.
And the building officials say, well, you have to have an engineer set of drawings before we'll give you the permit. But they have applied for the permit by paying the $25 that's necessary to apply. Okay? That keeps that case open.
6 months.
Okay, for six more months. Now, in that 6 months period, we're spending the city's tax dollars by sending Dwayne back out there, you guys back out there, back and forth. We have animals coming in and out.
Sometimes we've had to go cut and clean them up and secure them.
Secure them ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where I was going with the point situation is how do we adopt something in the code to say that it's below a certain thing and we can shorten that time up because it won't be able to be rebuilt.
I think we're there when he says it's deteriorated and dilapidated. When he says it's dilapidated, in my mind, he's reached a score where, you know, 56% of the construction costs of this are going to be more than the value of the entire property out there now. And yeah, and Dwayne points out, accurately points out, that the code does indicate that a property can be a nuisance, thereby being deteriorated, dilapidated.
But do you think there is a
provision, and right, you know, I've looked at this before, standards for ordering, it's 82-184. Says in any case where the repair, restoration, or replacement of any part of the structure, including the removal of any work done in violation of the building code, standard fire prevention code, or other laws or ordinances of the city exceeds 50% of the assessed value of a dangerous structure, it shall be demolished.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says
50%.
So if his scoring system is based on some assessment of value,
if he says 50%, maybe that's where he's arrived at 50%. Right. He just stops and says, no, you know, this is 50%. There's no need to go lower.
Maybe.
Hold on a second. Anyways, Dwayne's point was that a property can be declared a nuisance and abatement required based upon the fact that it's unsecured, causing slum and blight and deterioration of the neighborhood.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't involve... And we've ruled that before. That doesn't involve an inspection report.
But on the 14th, we give them 14 days to get a building permit?
And that's not what we did. Our standard is 30 days.
30 days.
Start their process.
That's the staff recommendation.
Right.
Right. Why don't we shorten that?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because we found that sometimes it's difficult for companies to be able to make a decision immediately, like in 14 days, and we've had people discuss that before.
Right.
They want to get a contractor over there, they want to get so-and-so, they want to get this, that, and another done, and it takes them some time to get that in motion. Sometimes we're talking to somebody from California who has to hire somebody in Florida. It just takes some time to get those wheels moving. Then, when they go over to the building department, they say, we want engineered drawings. Again, some time kicks in. So what we did is, when I first came up with these, for lack of a better term, sentencing guidelines for the board, and you'll notice that in alike cases, we use the same staff recommendation on every one, so we don't have the ambiguity there. We took what we had traditionally been doing in previous cases, the time allotted and whatnot, and included that in our current staff recommendations. So where we've deviated from that is from time to time we have a pool that doesn't have a barrier, current barrier present, something somebody says, well, no, Giorgio used to say a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The attorney just pointed out at 50% of the value, it's condemned.
Well,
for the...
That's a decision, I think, that a person who's taking responsibility for their property, not like this case, but a person who's taking responsibility for their property would have to say, well, I'm willing to spend whatever it takes to build that house.
Mm-hmm. And it actually provides in the code that the owner shall be given the option, whenever possible, of either demolishing the structure or repairing it so that it will no longer exist in violation of the terms of this article. So there's some wiggle room there.
Like the gentleman two sessions ago that had inherited his mom's house. It had been in the family since 1926, It looked like a demo to me, but he wanted to go and try to resurrect it because it had sentimental value.
And in the end, we ended up, he didn't.
And we took
but he wanted at least the time to check on it.
Yes.
To get
so I think we're always in a balancing act on our end. We're always trying, this, particularly when we're in a situation where there's a taking involved. I really want to protect someone's due process rights. I'd really rather err on giving them a little more time than to say less, unless we can just say, you know, all we have in there is crack dealers. All they're doing is dealing, you know, there's nobody's taking responsibility. No, you know, then maybe we would say, based upon these extended circumstances, we would like to shorten the 30-day period down to...
Absolutely. And this is what I was talking about, this case here earlier tonight, where the back door opened, the dog's in there. You know, people's in and out of that place.
Yep.
You know, it's a nuisance. And they're not going to rebuild that thing.
In those cases, though, and we've done before, I would like to bring the police department in to further, and we have brought the police department or police reports and things of that nature in to further provide evidence to this board. And to
it would just speed it would just speed up everything and keep, you know.
Yep, I agree.
Okay.
I always like to err on the side of due process.
I agree. I think it's a good way to go. and you know, in code enforcement, we weigh a lot of things that you guys don't always get the advantage of knowing.
Right.
For instance, the neighbors are cutting the front yard because no one's taking care of it, and they don't want their properties to be exposed to the weeds and things like that. So they cut the front yard because it looks better when they come home at night.
Right.
But they leave the backyard as a jungle. Okay. So we're a little more sensitive to some of those things that we don't always bring in to you in that regard. So I think a good gauge for you is in the absence of a respondent's testimony, where you're weighing the scales.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an officer who's giving you testimony, try to grade their testimony as well as pictures. Some code boards don't get pictures.
Mm-hmm.
They go strictly by what the officer says and what the respondent says.
But Dwayne always gets all the difficult ones. What's that?
Dwayne gets the short straw, but we're getting him help.
Oh, good.
But at any rate, you know, I would just ask that you would go by the testimony that's given, and there's times when we will bring in additional stuff. You know, if you've got copies of police reports and things of that nature, then you could understand that, hey, there is some underlying condition here that maybe we would deviate from the status quo plan. In code enforcement, we always have time. And we're always willing to work with people. That's the difference between when the police officer responds out there, slaps a cuff on somebody, takes them to the jailhouse and leaves. For us, we have the luxury of having some time. There's some times, though, when we'll bring in extra stuff for you that we feel we would prefer if you could, in your minds, condense what the normal is because of some other circumstance that we're bringing into you. When we have that situation, like if we had transient activity where the police were out there continually trespassing people and think we would bring that to you. We don't have that in this particular situation, but we do want to get the ball rolling here. We want to be able to send some notices out that, hey, if you don't take care of this, you're going to force us into the position where we're going to have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that the city probably looks better now through the works of this board over the last few years than in many, many years. You can drive west or east, you don't see a lot of garbage, snipe signs.
I think you guys do an excellent job.
In roads, things are cut, trimmed. We've taken down more homes in the last 5 years than I think we've probably done in 10.
Yeah.
But not only homes, buildings, I mean, the charcoal plant.
Right.
The only thing that's left out there now is like four warehouses. They had to take down all their silos, all of their ovens, all their stockpile, all that stuff at $250,000, $260,000 cost to them.
Wow.
The pick and save, which you all, this board ruled on, not everybody that's here, that was a problem for, what, 15 years, Bill?
Right, yeah.
We brought in police activity, we brought in fire activity, building,
yep.
So, and that's all gone. And it just looks better.
Yeah.
So that's your best efforts or what makes the city better.
Well, this is coming to the end of my fourth term on the board, and I'm not planning on renewing my membership.
We heard that.
So I'm going to, I do have someone that's interested in joining the board, and so I'm planning on my last meeting in February.
February. Okay. And I wanted to introduce Jason Coiter. I'm not sure if I did or not.
Yeah, we did.
You did that.
Jason, you're over there. Jason, okay, sorry. I got two Jasons now. And he's lucky I don't call him Josh, so that's another story. At any rate, Jason will be coming in, and then, of course, Lindsay. So we're getting staff back up.
Yep. And, you know depending on how the city council votes, I have somebody that's interested in the application. So we'll just kind of see what they have to say.
Yeah, we appreciate you bringing somebody in to take your place, yeah. Although that's impossible.
Yeah, well.
You've certainly served the board well for many years.
I appreciate that. All right, any other discussion?
Danielle has three children who are screaming her name.
All right, we'll call the meeting adjourned.
Thank you all. We appreciate your time.